with the blessings of sensing God's presence. Here's Pastor Jeff Johnson.
You get His shalom and you feel His presence, you're just going, oh man, God is in control, man. And I am rejoicing because He's got us. He's got my situation, my trial, whatever, in His hand. And I trust in Him, and He'll bring it to pass. He's a great and awesome God.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lot, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Assured of God's presence brings His shalom, His peace. And boy, how that's needed in our world of unrest and turmoil. But it raises some questions like, will God come near to me? And what will bring God's presence near? We'll find out on today's Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff Johnson as we spotlight Solomon's dedication prayer. We'll learn prayer and praise are key. Starting in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, here's Pastor Jeff.
Where we are at right now is beautiful because He's just said His prayer over everything that has been done, what God has done and allowed Him to do. Solomon is excited, and God's steadfast love is just being poured out. Let's go up a couple verses before we jump into 7. Verse 41, "Now therefore arise, O Lord God, into Thy resting place, Thou and the ark of Thy strength. Let the priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and Thy saints rejoice in goodness." God is love. God is good. He is our shalom, our peace. He is our source of power. He's our ark. O Lord, He says, verse 42, "Turn not away the face of Thine anointed. Remember the mercies of David, Thy servant." So we're always going to be going back to David. He's the example. He's the one. He's the one that God chose, that through his seed would come the Messiah. And so all of a sudden, this prayer, God's presence. There's something about prayer. As we really get down and pray, it's the presence of the Lord. Where two or three are gathered in my name, agreeing on any one thing, it shall be done. But his presence is there as we pray. So the presence of God was so strong that God revealed himself in a very powerful way. I don't know if you remember, but way back in Exodus chapter 40, verse 34, when Moses was dedicating the tabernacle, this is the temple, but Moses doing the tabernacle, it says that a cloud filled the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses was not able to enter into the tent congregation because the cloud abode there, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. God's Shekinah was so heavy. God's kabod, his presence is so heavy you can't move. It just makes you get on your face before the Lord. It's that heavy. It just humbles you tremendously. And so we see it happening again. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 3, he talks about having begun in the Spirit, you're going to try to perfect yourself in the flesh. No, let's stay in the Spirit. He said, oh, who has bewitched you? What is going on, man? You remember when you first received Christ, His Spirit came. That's the power we run on. That's what we go on. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. It's not by our power, our might, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Things are going to happen. And so we just got to be open for the Spirit of God to do the work in and through us. And really ask God to fill us with His presence. So we're going to hear a lot about sacrifice. We have someone who sacrificed his only son, God. God the Father gave his Son to die on that cross and be that sacrificial lamb for our sins. Powerful. So as they are dedicating the temple, and that's what's going on here in chapter 7, I think it's time to rededicate our lives to the Lord and keep that in our minds as we're going through this chapter. Because the temple is being dedicated. Hey, guess what? Our bodies are the temple of the living God. Let's dedicate them to the Lord tonight. Let's commit ourselves more in serving him. Now, chapter 7, verse 1. Now, when Solomon had made an end of praying, got done praying. This is effective prayer, man, if there ever was. Over in chapter 5, back in verse 13. Chapter 5, verse 13, he says, and it came to pass as the trumpeters and singers were one. Okay, so there's something about prayer that brings the presence of the Lord, and there's something about praise that brings the presence of the Lord. He inhabits what? The praises of his people. I love it when you guys are worshiping. That last song we sang, oh my. That first song we sang about his presence, he enters in. So when the trumpeters and singers were as one, singing together, and it blows people's minds. They come in here and they see all these people worshiping the Lord. That's what blew my mind the first time I went into a church and there was a bunch of hippies in there. And they were all raising their hands to the Lord and worshiping God. These guys are something. And they're in unison, in one accord. How do you get all these hippies to be one? That's a miracle right there. And someone's got their attention. Yeah, it's the Lord. They made one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals, the instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. That then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. So again, we see praise and prayer, and God comes down. And so when Solomon made an end of praying, fire came down from heaven. That's effective prayer, when fire comes down on the group that had been seeking him. And consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices that were there. And the glory of the Lord, the Shekinah of God, filled the house. And the priest could not enter into the house. Just like Moses, he couldn't get in there. Because if you even stepped in there, you'd end up on your face before God. The kabod, the presence of God, so heavy. The house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the house. Remember what it says in Ephesians 5:18. Guys, don't be drunk with wine of this world in excess. Don't go the way of the world. Don't think that it's about getting high and being filled with wine and just, you know, I want to get comfortable, man. I'm not comfortable unless I have a couple drinks and then I get into it, you know. No, listen. You ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit, and that's what he says. Don't be filled with wine wherein is excess, but be ye being filled with the Holy Spirit on a daily, moment-by-moment basis. God wants to fill us with his wine, and it's powerful. And there's no hangover. And it's just, it's the power of God. It's the blessing of God on this tabernacle. And in this tabernacle, that's important. Lord, take it over. Lord, I dedicate my body to you. I want you to take it and rule and reign in my heart. Take over the reins of my mouth, of my life, and make me a light to those around. And when all the children of Israel saw, it's almost like in Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8 says, and you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in all the world. And then later on in Acts chapter 4, they were refilled with the Holy Spirit. So you mean we can get filled over and over again? Yeah, especially if you get a leak. There's some Christians that get all excited, get into it, and then it leaks out. And then all of a sudden they wonder why they're doing what they're doing. And they've actually backslidden. Instead of going on, being filled with the Spirit, like he says there in Ephesians 5:18, over and over again, being filled. That's what the Greek is there. Continual flow of the Lord. When a stream is flowing, it is a constant stream. And it brings life. So all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, and they bowed themselves. They just all hit the ground and with their faces to the ground upon the pavement, and they worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "He's good, for his mercy endures forever." The Lord showed me in Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Listen to this. Just jot it down. Chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "I indeed have baptized you with water, but he," John the Baptist says, "will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." He's going to come down upon you for power. And then the Holy Spirit came down on Jesus, what, like a dove. And it says, there came a voice from heaven, saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I mean, the Lord just, he not only got water baptized, he got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And there was a visual. And then over in chapter 9, verse 7 of Mark, there was a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud. It was the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him. He will show you my will. Hear him." I love that. Now, the Lord is good. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. There's a song we used to sing. Let the redeemed of the Lord say it. No one else is saying it. Politicians don't say it. And they don't think God is good. Isn't that sad? They don't say it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, "He is good. And his mercy is forever and ever. And he loves everyone, and he wants to save everyone. He's not willing any should perish, but that all should come into this relationship with him." Then notice verse 4. The Bible critics really hate this verse, okay? They look at this verse and they freak out. They say, "This is ridiculous." And then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. Of course, sacrifice alters everything everywhere. Sacrifices is a powerful thing. That's why God used that once and for all sacrifice in his Son. That's why he gave us all the types of all the sacrifices all through the Old Testament to show forth that we don't have to do that anymore. But they were a shadow of that which was coming, and that is the Messiah, because he would die for the whole world's sins. Once, one sacrifice. One man, sin entered into the whole world. One man, sin got dealt with. And that's awesome. The Lord dealt with it there on that cross. But sacrifices, and they smelled so good. When's the last time you had a hot barbecue? Just Memorial Day. Come on. And you smelled those burgers, those steaks, whatever you had. Sacrifices are cool. They're just, ooh, man, we're going to eat now. And they ate. And they ate. See, the Lord came to be a sweet-smelling savor to us. And that we would be full. If you hunger and thirst after me, you shall be filled. Notice verse 5. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen. Oh, come on. 22,000 oxen? Oh, no, wait a minute. And 120,000 sheep. There's blood everywhere. There were sacrifices everywhere. Thousands upon thousands. What do you think happened in the Exodus when every home, there was thousands of sheep, little lambs slaughtered in every home, that the firstborn would not die as the blood was put on the doorpost? Has the blood of Jesus been applied to your life? It's a very special thing. There's so much grace and forgiveness and deliverance, for the children of Israel were delivered with a great deliverance out of Egypt. We were delivered out of the world. The world. Oh, get my message last Sunday about the world and the darkness of this world and what it's doing to us. We have truly been delivered greatly. 20,000 sheep. And they go, that's impossible. That can't happen. Oh, it did. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. I love that scripture in Romans 12:1. I beg of you, brethren, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's the right thing to do after all he's done for us, that we can just give him our lives. You see, he doesn't want just a little bit of you. When he saves you, he wants all of you. He's a jealous God. He gave his son to purchase us by his precious blood, that we would be his children. And he's jealous for us. And he loves us so much. Even when you're unlovable, he loves you. And some of you are hearing, I don't know about that. No, he loves you no matter what's been going on. You got to just, you know this. It's the goodness of God that brings us to repentance. And we get nailed because God keeps loving us. So the dedication takes place, the feasting and celebration. Verse 6, the priests waited on their offices, and the Levites also on the instruments of music. I mean, they were having a dedication service, not just barbecue, but a lot of music. Instruments of music of the Lord. What, notice which David the king had made. Very special instruments. King David made all the instruments that they ever played during this period of time. I mean, he was anointed of God to make every kind of instrument you can think of. And they praised the Lord because his mercy endures forever. Then David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded the trumpets before them. All Israel stood. Notice all Israel. United Israel, not divided Israel, not civil war Israel. No, all of Israel began to worship. There's something about the unity of that. Moreover, Solomon, verse 7, hallowed the middle of the court. Notice this, that was before the house of the Lord, for there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of peace offerings. So there was burnt offerings, there was peace offerings, and peace offerings brings the joy of the Lord. I mean, when you get his shalom and you feel his presence, you're just going, oh man, God is in control, man. And I am rejoicing because he's got us. He's got my situation, my trial, whatever, in his hand. And I trust in him, and he'll bring it to pass. He's a great and awesome God. Peace offerings. And because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat. I mean, they were overwhelmed by offerings and sacrifices. God wants to overwhelm us with his grace. What he gave in his son. The greatest sacrifice ever. That we would be overwhelmed. That a God that loves this world so much would give his only son to grow up, to be born as a baby. He was born to die. God's showing his love, his grace. No matter how mean and rotten and stinking we are, he reached down to that gutter and pulled us out. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. The sacrificial lamb of God. Also, at that same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days. I mean, 7 days of barbecue and music and worship and praise. Notice again, and all Israel, united Israel. Over in Luke chapter 1, verse 35. Awesome verse. Luke 1, verse 35, the angel answered, and he said unto her, talking to Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you, Mary. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. Very special moment when God intervened in man's affairs 2,000 years ago. Guess what? He's coming again. God will intervene in our affairs again. And he promised that. Will he fulfill his promise? Well, he's done pretty good so far. He's fulfilled everything in this book except the last few pages. Yeah, he's going to do it. Are you ready for that meeting in the sky when we all go together to be with him? Soon and very soon, there's going to be a great snatch, and millions are going to be missing in a moment, twinkling of an eye. So he says, and with him, the very great congregation, verse 8, from the entering in of Hamath, notice from the north to the river of Egypt, the extreme north to the extreme south, God was moving there in Israel. And in the eighth day, remember the eighth day, Jesus got up and he just spoke to everyone there, thousands of people in the temple, and they all stopped talking when Jesus spoke. It's like E.F. Hutton says, and everybody's quiet. No. When Jesus speaks, the Son of God, thousands just shut up just to hear that voice and what he was saying. If any man thirst, let him come unto me, and I will fill you with the living water, the Holy Spirit. I mean, it was just, it just hit everybody. It was like a, it went out. And they just heard that voice. So the eighth day, why? Because the eighth day is when they didn't bring water from the pool of Siloam. He said, I am the living water. You need me in your life if you are going to continue on forever and ever with me. We're all going to continue. It just depends who we choose to continue with. You can go with the Lord or you can go with the other guy. I wouldn't suggest that because it's serious. Jesus talked more about that place than he did heaven. It's real. Notice the eighth day in the solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. So the Feast of Tabernacles, very, very strong feast there with Passover and the other feasts. There was five of them, actually. And on the 23rd day, the people, he sent the people away into their tents. In other words, after all that partying, wow, everybody was tired. They were full. They were exhausted. He sent them to their tents. Notice they were what? Glad. Full of joy and merry in heart. For the goodness that the Lord had shown unto David and to Solomon, connecting them, uniting them, and to Israel, his people. So everyone's together. Everyone's unified and blessed. Communion, the bread that strengthens, the wine that cheers. We get to do it. We get to do it. This is very special.
Very special indeed. And what a picture of Jesus, the bread that satisfies and the wine that makes us glad. And our teacher, Pastor Jeff Johnson, will share more on how Jesus is pictured in this passage, along with a very exciting promise, next time on Sound Doctrine. Today's message from 2 Chronicles is called Present Yourself a Living Sacrifice. Remember, you can access these daily studies by visiting our website. Log on to sounddoctrineradio.org. To purchase the CD, call 800-353-7553. Again, we're here to serve you at 800-353-7553. Hey, are you looking for some good summertime reading? Maybe for that vacation that you've got planned? Allow me to recommend The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. It's a good one. Penned on a train from Illinois to Texas, this is just what you need to hear if you're longing for a deeper experience with God. This devotional masterpiece is really an invitation to think deeply about your faith. This book is a modest attempt, Tozer wrote, to aid God's children so as to find Him. If you're hungry, the pursuit of God will lead you to the only one who can satisfy the soul. Request it today for just $13 at sounddoctrineradio.org. You can also call 800-353-7553. And during these critical summer months, we would appreciate your support as we continue to present sound doctrine on this station of yours. We look to the Lord to provide. Maybe that provision will come through you. Again, go to sounddoctrineradio.org or call 800-353-7553. Thank you for listening to Sound Doctrine, the daily presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey, and made possible through your generosity.